I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Championship Roundtable podcast. You can find the show at Championship Pod on Twitter. I'm Louis Shackshaft, football writer, blogger and podcast host for you again today.
Hi, I'm Jake. You can get me on Twitter at Jake Chapman with two N's and I write for EPL Index.
Right then, Jake, great to have you with us. I know you didn't appear on the last show, but first things first, what I'd like to do actually is not come to results roundup from the weekend, is just go back a week or so and I want to quickly mention the Aston Villa 5, Nottingham Forest 5 fixture, because often on this podcast we talk about game of the season, and only a few weeks ago we had the Norwich 4-3 versus Millwall as one of the potential games of the season. What's your say on that game, mate, the 5-all draw? Have you got anything to add?
Yeah, it was a crazy game, wasn't it? I think everybody would have had that one down as Villa being the winner at home against Forest. I know Forest have been good recently, but you know, Villa have got the new manager and they've been doing really well. And it just seemed to be one of those games that had everything, because you had four goals in the first 15 minutes, two goals each team. You had Tammy Abraham scoring four. You had an excellent goal from Joe Lolley, potential goal of the season candidate. You had a red card. You had 10 men coming back from behind. You had Villa, the home team, coming back from behind. It had nearly everything you wanted in a game.
It did.
And the fact that neither team won, I think, really just adds to it, because I think if either one of those teams would have lost, they would have felt unfortunate. I know if you look at the stats, Villa dominated possession. They're 26 shots to Forest 8. So you can make an argument that Villa can feel very hard done by to concede five goals out of that. But it's just the magic of football, and sometimes these games happen, and it was great to watch. And you get these games where it seems like everything is going to go in the back of the net. And you can have it where there could be four goals in the first 20 minutes, and that could be it. So I think it was a great advert for the Championship, possibly not for defending, but the individual talent on show. You saw two players really stood out for me, and that would be Tammy Abraham, obviously four goals. You can't not say he didn't stand out. And then Joe Lolley with a goal and four assists, you know. You're not going to get much better than that, are you? And he's a player that's really... He's been around the leagues for a bit with Huddersfield and now with Forest, and he's always been a good player, but he seems to have taken his game to a new level this season. And I've seen a lot of Premier League clubs have been linked. I know my own club, Newcastle, have been linked with him. So it'd be interesting to see how he goes for the next month ahead of the January window, because if he keeps performing like that, Premier League clubs will be coming in for him, because he's English, he's at a good age, he's really performing, and sometimes you just have to get all it takes is that one half of the season to get that jump to the Premier League, because it didn't quite work out for him at Huddersfield, but he's clearly got some talent and he's really done well this year. But yeah, I think he was probably the standout player for me in that game. Easy to focus on Tammy Abraham, and he obviously deserves a mention, but I think Joe Lolley, that he was excellent, and without him, Forest probably would have been rather easily beaten, I think, in this game. So he was a massive difference maker.
Yeah, definitely. I think Joe Lolley's probably been one of the players of the season for me, if not the player. He's scored some fantastic goals, and obviously not just in that game either. If I have to push you to say that, is this the game of the season? For me, it is. I think it does overtake the other games we've mentioned on the previous podcast. Do you now think that this is the game of the season and it potentially won't be beaten?
Yeah, I think so. I think it had everything. Like I said, early goals, you had the red card, you had one player scoring four, you had, you know, a team of 10 men come back from behind when they'd been leading pretty much the whole match. It had everything. So I think, definitely for me, at this point, game of the season, it's going to be a tough one to beat.
Yeah, 100% for me. Also, it certainly had everything like you mentioned there. If we move, obviously, to the weekend after that, and we're going to do results roundup from the weekend, and obviously the biggest win and surprise. Do you want to just, if you don't mind, Jake, want to take us from all the results from the weekend, starting with Saturday?
Yeah, so starting with Saturday, we had Leeds and Sheffield United in the early kickoff, and Leeds got a really big win away from home there in the early game of the Championship, so that's a huge one. Norwich coming from behind against Rotherham at home to win 3-1 and to go back atop of the table. Nottingham Forest beating Ipswich 2-0 to really build on that 5-5 result. It was important that they got back to winning ways, and they did that. QPR lost at home to Hull 3-2. Reading drew at home to Stoke 2-2. Birmingham won 3-0. Blackburn beat Sheffield Wednesday, your club, Louis, 4-2.
Mm-hmm.
Bolton and Wigan played out a 1-1 draw. Derby beat Swansea at home 2-1, and I think that was an important win for Frank Lampard because they'd sort of been a bit rocky recently, and getting that big win at home against the relegated team was huge. Aston Villa, again, like Nottingham Forest, returning to winning ways of a really, really impressive 3-0 win away to Middlesbrough. Yeah. And then yesterday you obviously had Bristol City and Millwall playing out a 1-1 draw. And I think the one eye-catching thing about the weekend's results is there is a lot of goals. You know, a lot of goals. You've only got 4 clean sheets there out of the whole division, which just shows, you know, what the Championship is at the moment. It's just so many competitive teams going in and bringing out so many good games. And I think, you know, some of these games this season have been ignored, like Reading and Stoke 2-2. That's a great game. Hull going to QPR winning 3-2 is a very, very good game. But the fact that there's just so many good games in the Championship this season, they're just being overlooked and not really talked about. So I think we're going to get into a few of them now. So what result really catches your eye, Louis, out of these?
Well, I've picked out 3, actually. And before I mention them, it is interesting that you said that there was only 4 clean sheets. And one of the things I did do was try and pick out a goalkeeper to have him as, you know, one of the players of the week. What kept a clean sheet? And I've not managed to do that because it were kind of the strikers this weekend what took all the plaudits, to be honest. But another thing that I wanted to mention there, like you said, the Stoke and Reading game, which finished 2-2, Mo Barrow's goal there with the instant side foot into the bottom corner was a fantastic finish. But what I'll do is I'll pick out one game that I thought stood out, and it might come out as a surprise because I've picked 3 in total, but I'll save the most important one to last in my eyes. But Hull City's victory, actually, away to QPR, that was an absolutely huge win for them. Obviously, Hull City were pretty well in the relegation zone prior to the game, and obviously they went to Reading. They've overtaken them on points now. Jared Bowen, obviously, with a brace in that game, and I just thought that was a huge game for them. Is there any other game you'd like to pick out, Jake?
Yeah, for me, I think it's got to be the Derby game. I quickly picked up on it. They're a team that I've been keeping a close eye on. I think many have been because of the Frank Lampard link. And I think that was a huge win at home against Swansea, who, although they haven't been great recently under Graham Potter, they have been pulling out some good results with a young squad, and it wasn't an easy game for Derby, but Harry Wilson stood out. Just 2 great goals again. You could run a goal of the season competition with just his goals this season. He's been remarkable. And I know you spoke about him a lot at the start of the season, Louis, saying that he could be the stand-up player of the division. I think he's slowly, slowly grown into that role.
Definitely, yeah.
You know, they've got a lot of talent in that team, and it's interesting to see how Lampard has been managing that squad, but Wilson now is really emerging as a star, and that was a huge win for them to really put them back in promotion contention, because even though they've dropped slightly out of the playoffs in 7th position, they're still only 6 points off the lead, and if they wouldn't have won at the weekend, they would have been cut adrift out of that top 6. So I think it was crucial that they did get that win. Yeah, I think that for them. What are your views on Derby, Louis? I'd be interested to take those, because I always think they're a good team, but they're just so inconsistent.
I would just, you know, you took the words out of my mouth. I was just going to say, in great team on the day, but inconsistent. And you only have to look at the form guide for that. Drew 1, won 1, lost 1, won 1, lost 1, won 1. And at home, I believe that, yes, they can beat anyone on the day, but then, you know, the surprise fixture where obviously Aston Villa went there and seemed to, even though all the goals were in the second half only a few weeks ago, went and won 3-0. So, yes, I think slowly but surely, Derby, you know, we mentioned it before on the podcast, are struggling to keep clean sheets, but they're still racking up points. So I can see them staying around, you know, 6th, 7th, 4th, maybe another few months, but as time progresses, I think that they will get stronger. And, you know, I still expect them to finish in the playoffs. Would you expect them to finish in the playoffs this season as well?
Yeah, I think they will. I just remember that run of, I think it was three games, wasn't it, against, I think it was Middlesbrough, West Brom, and Sheffield United, wasn't
Sheffield
it?
United,
Was it.
Yeah.
They were really impressive in those games. And they've, you know, gone off the board a bit recently, but it was a huge win to get them back to winning ways ahead of the festive period, so I thought that was huge. And the way they performed against Man United as well, and Chelsea, you know, they can really pull out big performances. And it's very early to say this, but they do seem like a team that would do well in the playoffs. Like, I feel like this
yeah, I get
group
that,
of players,
yeah.
They've got match winners all over the pitch, and I think they would be good in a playoff situation. So if they did finish in the top six, I would really be tipping them for promotion. I don't think they've got the top two credentials yet. I think it's a lot of young players on that team, and Lampard still learning his game. But yeah, in a playoff situation, I'd really back them. So if they did finish in that top six, and I agree with you, I think they will. They could really be a threat in those final games.
Yeah, they've definitely got the potential to even go up this season via the playoffs. If I were to pick another game actually from the weekend that was a big win, was obviously Leeds' victory at Sheffield United. Tough game. Maybe a draw would have been a fair result. However, Hernandez has had a great few weeks, and I know he punished Sheffield United via the mistake from the keeper in goal there. And on another day, then, you know, that Leeds wouldn't have scored. But Leeds are just, we keep saying it, they just seem to be finding form at the right time. And games like that away to Sheffield United, even though they had an element of luck with the goal, that is a huge win for them. But the biggest win and the biggest surprise for me, I'm sure you'll agree, Jake, is for me Aston Villa's 3-0 victory away to Middlesbrough. I always said on this podcast that Middlesbrough would probably only lose two games at home all season and they'd finish top two. But Middlesbrough so far, they've already done it. They've lost two games at home this season, courtesy of Aston Villa's win there at the weekend. And not only that, Middlesbrough doubled their conceded tally this season via that game also. So they'd only conceded three goals at home this season, Middlesbrough. And now that's been doubled to six due to Aston Villa's goals there. And not only that, Tammy Abraham's found the net again this week. And that's obviously five goals in two games for him, which seems crazy. But yes, that's the game, the win and surprise of the weekend for me. Would you agree with that one?
Yeah, definitely. I think Villa have got goals in them, and it seems Dean Smith is really bringing in what he did at Brentford. Now we're going to come on to that a bit later, talking about those two clubs, because I thought it was the players at Brentford, but maybe I was underestimating Dean Smith, and he's really bringing a good style of play at Villa, and it's obviously a great time to be a Villa fan again after, you know, what they've gone through the last few years. I know they got to the playoffs last year, but it was never really convincing or great to watch. And it seems to be turning. But yeah, I was surprised, because one thing that you can guarantee Middlesbrough to be under Tony Pulis is solid, not giving much away, especially at home. And to concede three goals, that's going to be a massive dent to their confidence, especially when West Brom seem to be back to winning ways. You've got Leeds and Norwich flying, Nottingham Forest slowly chugging away, and Derby and Villa coming up as well. You know, there's a lot of teams coming up, and it seems like Middlesbrough on a slight downward spiral. Haven't been losing many games, but you wouldn't expect that for a Tony Pulis team. But they've only won two of their last six, so you know, it's not great form. And drawing against Preston and an injury hit Preston in the last game, there's a lot to worry about at the moment for Villa, for Middlesbrough, I think. Tony Pulis is obviously the right man for it. If there's any, you'd still want him at the helm. I think they're still going to be tough to beat, but they just need, I don't know if he's been a little bit too conservative, and maybe this defeat could be a blessing in disguise and sort of making him change his style a little bit and just a wake-up call, maybe.
Yeah, that's a great point, actually, saying a blessing in disguise, because they still have only lost three games all season, and losing to Villa, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world. Villa at the minute are probably one of the form teams. I think the second in the form guide, actually, obviously, since Dean Smith's arrival. So we will come on to that. But yes, I did predict a I believe on the podcast, a 1-1 draw in that game. So for them to win 3-0 was a huge surprise for me. We're going to move on to Player of the Week, which is going to be a difficult topic, actually, because there's plenty of players to choose from this time. But any standout players for you this weekend, Jake, in particular?
Oh, I think if we're going for the week as well, I think it's got to be Tammy Abraham, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm,
being involved in two massive games for Villa. One, he got four goals in. The other, he's got a goal in. He seems to really be finding his feet again after what was a disappointing loan spell at Swansea. I'm not sure the style of play really suited him there. And he's playing in a struggling team. And he's now come back down to the Championship and he's scoring a lot of goals again. And at his age, I think it's too early to pigeonhole him as a Championship player. I just think he's still at a massive club. It's a step up from what he was at Bristol City. So you can see it as a positive step. Arguably, Villa are a bigger club than Swansea as well. So I think he's really, you know, finding his feet again, growing in confidence. And hopefully, if he keeps this up, he can you know, target the Premier League again next season, perhaps with a different team, somebody that will play to his strengths more. If Villa went up, it would be great to see him stay there in the Premier League. He does have everything with centre forward. He's quick. He's mobile. He holds up the ball well. He's got good with his feet. He's a good finisher. He just has everything.
Yeah.
And he's still only 21 years old. So I think for me, he looks to be the player that could really grow in the second half of the season. And it would surprise me if he didn't finish as top goal scorer. I know he's itself. He scored 5 in a week. He's not. There's a lot of players up there. But for me, I think he is the. He's just the standout player in terms of goals. He's currently got 11, so he's 3 behind Lewis Graben, who's leading the way. But for me, I think Tammy Abraham is going to quickly overtake Graben and just fly. He's only played 1,166 minutes, got 11 goals, so he's averaging about a goal every 100 minutes. And I think that's going to come down a lot under Dean Smith. He seems to have got the best out of him. So yeah, for me, he's got to be the standout player of the week.
Yeah, he's got huge potential and, you know, the form he's on at the minute, it can only be good for England as well, because I'm tipping, obviously, a player like Abraham to be in the England setup probably in the next 2 to 3 years, maybe not quite yet. I know he needs to prove himself at Premier League level, like you've just kind of touched on there, Jake. And, you know, when that does come, because I'm sure it will, he just needs to, like I say, prove himself there, maybe grab 10 goals or something in his first season, and I'm sure he'd be in and around the England setup.
He's already got an England cap, hasn't he, already?
Yeah, I think he did get one.
He's got two, I think, looking at his Wikipedia page.
Oh, really?
He's got two
caps, so there we go. That is something I did not realise. I know he's been in, obviously, in and around the other 21s for a while, but actually getting two caps for England, that's something I was unaware of.
But that really does play into your point a bit more, because I think he's definitely going to be a player that Gareth Southgate will know and will be keeping an eye on. So I think it wouldn't even surprise me if he got a call-up from the Championship. Southgate has shown that he'd done that with Mason Mount. I don't think England have got a lot of strikers. So, yeah, could see him getting the England squad maybe sooner rather than later.
Yeah, definitely. And another player that I were going to mention, obviously, within the week itself is obviously Joe Lolley, which we've kind of touched upon. So I'm going to mention some other names, actually. Bit of a pain for me, but Danny Graham obviously got a hat-trick for Blackburn against Sheffield Wednesday. There was an element of luck with a couple of those goals. He's got Bradley Dack to thank there when two of his shots came off the post and practically fell in both occasions to Danny Graham. But he was there to obviously score the goals. And like I say, he managed to score 3 goals in that game. So obviously he had a fantastic Saturday afternoon. Harry Wilson, another one for me. We've already kind of touched on him, but he got a brace against Swansea City, but I won't mention that as we've touched upon it. Lewis Graben, obviously, another 2 goals for Graben. Finds himself, obviously, top scorer in the league now. Could have had a hat-trick as well. He managed to hit the crossbar late on, and, you know, it's a shame in many ways that didn't go in, because I don't believe he's ever scored, actually, a hat-trick at Championship level. And then I've already mentioned his name, but again, Jared Bowen, a brace for Hull City versus QPR. So yes, definitely it was a striker's weekend, basically, like you mentioned, Jake. Plenty of goals scored and all these players scoring braces and hat-tricks. It's hard to pick out one player, but as you mentioned, with 5 goals in total over the last couple of games, probably Tammy Abraham pips that there. Is there any other players or are you happy with those?
Yeah, I'm happy with the ones you've discussed. I think Graham was one for me as well. Obviously, I mentioned Joe Lawley and Harry Wilson earlier, so they're the ones that have really caught my eye this week.
Cool. Let's move topics then, Jake. Like you touched upon earlier, we mentioned Dean Smith and Aston Villa. With the current form they're on, et cetera, and the different playing style that they've got now, has Dean Smith made Aston Villa automatic promotion contenders? I'm not talking playoffs. I'm actually talking, can they get to first or second in this league? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think that given the nature of the league this season, you can say absolutely they can. Only 9 points. They absolutely can get there. But also on the flip side, there have been different teams, been flavours of the month at different times. Will they keep it up? It's difficult. We've spoke about West Brom, Middlesbrough possibly running away with the league, but they both suffered hits after that. So, yeah, it would surprise me if Aston Villa got as high as the top two. I just think the competitive nature of the league, they will go through dips. Other teams will come forward. It's difficult. They can certainly have ambitions to do it. We've certainly got the players to do it. And although I was praising Dean Smith earlier, still question marks about whether he can maintain it, because it's one thing, you know, doing really well for 4 or 5 games. It's another thing to do that over the course of half a season, 3 quarters of a season. So it'd be interesting. Given the league this season, it's definitely possible. But I would just be a little bit cautious of tipping any one team to go on and be promoted, even at this point, even though it's currently in the top two. It's just so competitive, and different teams come, you know, do well at different times. It's so difficult. And I think for Villa, another thing I would say about Villa is that the squad depth, I'm not sure they've quite got that. They've got a lot of good, very, very good first 11 players. But you look up beneath that on their bench at the weekend, you know, Codger, very good player, Hogan, and then you come to Whelan, who's a right, but he's never going to be a great dominate championship games at the top of the league. Yeah. Jedinak, once a very, very good player, but I'm not sure he is yet. And then Bunn, O'Hare, Revan, you know, I'm not sure they have a lot of depth. You know, if Abraham gets injured, if Grealish gets injured, Horahan, you know, James Chester, especially at the back as well. I know they're very, very short defensive options. I'm still not convinced of them as a squad that could go on and dominate the league. And I think it's going to be an opportunity for Dean Smith to spend in January, because I think that squad definitely needs additions if they are going to push for promotion, let alone the top two. So, but just they've got potential, but I'd be cautious.
Yeah, I can see why you're quite reserved there, and I don't think, if I'm honest, that any team's going to run away with the league this season. I know obviously Norwich are trying the best too, and they're doing really well, but I still think, you know, come the last few games of the season, that there will probably be only 4 or 5 points in it at the top, and, you know, not many at all, and there will be a dark horse. There always is in this league, that not even potentially a dark horse, but someone who goes on a fine run of form and gets into the playoffs, or even does finish second. It always happens in this league. It has done for about 3 years running now. And the reason I ask this question is simply because, obviously, under Dean Smith now, they're going through a transformation. There's all that confidence is back, the energy is back. And yes, if a couple of players do get injured, key players, then they might, you know, take a dip in form, or, you know, lose a couple of points where they should be winning games. But, like I say, they're unbeaten in 5 games now. They've won 4 of those. They're second in the form table. They've scored 12 goals in the last 3 games. And not only that, I think there's still 78 points to play for in this league, which seems crazy when you put that into perspective. And they're only 8 points off Leeds in second. So, on current form, since Dean Smith's arrival, I could say, yes, there is the potential, like you said, Jake, for them to finish second, let's say, or certainly push for first and second. But like you say, it only takes a little blip or a minor blip with injuries, suspensions. And it is coming now to I feel, the toughest time in the season, December, January, February, where it's real testing, winter months. And I'm sure you'd agree with that. That's, you know, if you can get to February the 1st and you're sitting first and second in the table, then you've got a very, very good chance of going up. So, again, time will tell with this one, but I still do expect Aston Villa to be a certain force in this league from now and, you know, into the remainder of the season. But if I were to flip this question, Jake, obviously we've talked about Dean Smith arriving at Aston Villa. Let's touch on Brentford. So to continue this question a little bit, should Brentford now, though, be fearful of falling into the relegation zone? What's your thoughts on those on Brentford at the minute?
I think you've got to be fearful. The thing with Brentford, I think they've got a very, very good squad. They produce good numbers. I know people that Inter expected goals and things like that, touches in the box, they do very well on their stats. But they've been doing that for years, and there's just been something lacking. And I think since the managerial change, it's really been evident. You know, they've conceded 3 against Preston, conceded 3 against QPR, conceded 3 against Sheffield United. They're not very good at the back. They concede a lot of high quality chances which again they create a lot, but they also concede a lot of those big chances. They've got a few really, really good players, but they are young as well. Neil Maupay, we've talked about him on the show before. He's very, very good, but he's 22. Ollie Watkins, 22. Josh McEachran, 25. Ben Rama, 23. They've just got Sergi Canos, who plays a lot, 21. It's just a young team, and I think the inconsistency is obvious. I think it was a massive blow to lose Dean Smith, and at the time I thought it was a good opportunity for them to move on and maybe find a manager that could take them to the next level, but it doesn't seem that they've done that, and they are struggling. And next two games they've got West Brom away, which is going to be tonight, so that'll be an interesting to see how that one goes. And then they've got Swansea at home, which is going to be a difficult game for them, with a lot of pressure on them to win that game, because if they lose that and if they lost against West, you know, they really are falling into a difficult situation ahead of January. And if they are in that relegation fight, will their good players be looking to leave? I don't know. I think there will definitely be takers for them. Dean Smith probably being one of them. Aston Villa, there's a few players in that Brentford squad that he'd like to bring to
the park.
Yeah,
that's true.
So yeah, I think the thing with Brentford is they're going to go through these cycles of being really, really good like they were, and then really, really bad. And I don't think they're going to go down. I think they've got too many good players for that. But they need to maybe look at how they do things and maybe whether if the way they appointed their manager to replace Dean Smith was the right thing, whether they need to maybe, I know it's really great to have the stats-based approach, but maybe they need a few players in there with a bit more experience just to help them through, because I think that's something they're lacking at the moment.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Yeah, maybe. It's strange to see, obviously, Brentford, who've been fighting for the automatics over the last couple of years, to be down there. And even though, like you say, yes, they have got to be fearful, they're only 3 points off the drop, and they've lost 3 in a row now, that is as we record as well. I still feel as though where they are in the league, which currently is 18th, that it is slight a false position. I think they are better than that, even though, the 3 points off the drop, they need to start winning games now, basically, and find themselves halfway up the league. But like I mentioned, it's kind of a false position for them, and that's because, I mean, you only have to look at their goal difference. There's only Brentford and Swansea, actually, in the bottom half, who've got a plus goal difference. Brentford have got a plus 2, players like you mentioned there, Maupé, Watkins, 19 goals between them. They're two fantastic players. I've been a keen admirer of Watkins for a couple of seasons now. And like you say, if they can hold on to those kind of players in January, like you said, Dean Smith may come lurking. But they should be able to survive the drop. I just, like I say, 3 points off 23rd actually currently. So yeah, losing a couple of games, they could be right in the thick of it. But they've certainly got the players to survive. It's just whether they can build that confidence back up. And obviously, like I say, that they're certainly for me a top half team. It's just they just seem to be struggling at the minute. And you know, I suppose there's many teams in and around there that you know should be doing better, like your Millwalls and your Prestons, Sheffield Wednesdays. All should be definitely in the top half of the league in many respects. So yes, they should be okay, but they need to obviously change things from now basically and start gaining points as from now till Christmas, etc. But one other thing we're going to talk about, Jake, is, and it's quite difficult to choose one in particular, but we've got a few names we can mention. For you, who has been the best striker in the league so far? I know we've touched upon quite a few at the minute, but if you take it into perspective, the team they play for and, you know, the amount of goals they've scored, etc., etc., who stands out for you in that regard?
It's a very, very interesting question because I think there's a lot of good players in the league, a lot of very good strikers. I think there's obviously spoken about Abraham. I don't think he's done quite enough yet to warrant that tag, although I think he's well on his way. I think Pucky at Norwich has come in and he sort of come in very just under the radar. There wasn't a lot written about him and he wasn't seen to be a player that could maybe take Norwich to a new level, but he's definitely done that. He's just so good to watch. He works hard. He's got a goal in him. Got 11 goals so far this season. He seems to have really added a lot to that Norwich attack, so he needs to be considered. I think a lot of his goals are important goals as well, so I think that you have to take that into consideration. You've got Maupé, we spoke about him. I think especially for the first 10 games he was incredible, and I think even though Brentford have started to decline, he continues to perform well. And if you're talking about I think he's got more potential than any other striker in this league, maybe aside from Abraham, but he's got a lot of potential. Those two for me definitely deserve a mention. I think Dwight Gayle, when he's been fit, has done very well at West Brom. Obviously you know what you're going to get from Dwight Gayle, but I think
yeah, you do.
His record in the Championship for three different clubs now has been remarkable for each of them. I think if you're going to have a striker in this division, I think Dwight Gayle's the one you want. And if he stays fit over the second half of the season, I think West Brom are just going to go from strength to strength and really challenge for that top two, because he is incredible. So I think Pucky for me is definitely in the standout for what he's offered overall. But I think you know there's a lot of good strikers and we could be all day talking about them really.
Okay, well, what I'm going to do actually is I'm going to list about six strikers, how many games they've played, the goals scored, assists. I know you've mentioned Pucky there as your potential top one or the one in first position that you would choose as the player of the season so far. But I'll list them and see if you change your mind or pick out. I want basically to pick one at the end. So obviously Graben, Pucky and Abraham are probably the form strikers so far. But if obviously I mention Graben initially, he's got 14 goals, 2 assists from 16 games. Maupé's played 17 games, 13 goals, 6 assists, by the way, included in that. Abraham has played 14 games, 11 goals, 1 assist. Pukki, 17 games, 11 goals, 2 assists. I've got Billy Sharp in there as well because he's played 15 games and scored 10 goals. And then I've even got Lukas Jukovic with 20 games, 10 goals, 3 assists. Are you sticking with Pukki or do you want to change your mind?
I think for me, I'm sticking with him. But but I think it's purely because of where Norwich is. It really adds to why I'm valuing him as the best striker in the league. But it's difficult to ignore Maupé. Like you've gone into there, his assist stats as well. And considering Brentford are near the bottom of the league now, he's still producing really good numbers. So I think he is very, very, very good. But I just think the fact that Norwich are where they are in the league just adds to what Pukki has offered and what he is now in the Championship.
Yeah, definitely. I can see why you've picked him, because I'm going to pick... It's very difficult to choose, but if I had to pick two, One of them would be Mopai based on his assists as well. So like I said, he scored 13 goals and got 6 assists. So he's got so much contribution there. But the one for me, based on striker and striker alone, I'm going to go for Pukki as well, simply because he's new to this league. You know, it usually takes time to adapt to a league like the Championship. And he's come through and he's just setting it alight. And he seems to grab a goal every single game he plays in at the minute for Norwich. And like I say, he scored 11 goals, got 2 assists this season. So I think he just edges it for me, as well as the fact that Norwich find themselves first in the league and a lot of contribution from him there. But that takes us nicely to previews and predictions, Jake. So I've got 3 key fixtures from next weekend. In fact, say next weekend, the first one is actually on Friday night, an 8 p.m. kickoff. Very difficult to choose this one, but it's West Brom versus Aston Villa. Big game. What's your preview and prediction for that one?
It's going to be a massive game, isn't it, this one? Two teams that score a lot of goals, got a lot of good attacking options. You're going to have Gale going up against Abraham. It's going to be great to watch. West Brom currently 4th, and Aston Villa currently 8th. So if we're talking about what we spoke about earlier of Aston Villa, this is a game they really need to go and win. I think if they're going to push for those top two, they need to go to West Brom and win. And I just think that's going to be difficult. West Brom have recovered really well from their difficult run of games. 3 wins on the bounce. I think there's going to be a lot of goals in this one. I could see it being a 2-all, a 3-all. I think it's going to be a draw. Can't pick between them at this point, but I think there's going to be goals. I think it's not going to be a 5-5 because, you know, you'd be stupid to predict that. But it's definitely got a chance to be a 2-2, a 3-3. I definitely see that being goals.
You've took the words out of my mouth because I wrote down 2-2. And it's simply because I think there'll be goals also. And how do you call this one? You could see it going anyway, and that's why I've gone for a score draw, because West Brom at home, yes, there's goals in them, like you say, your Dwight Gales, players like that, you know, West Brom could easily win this game. But then Villa, obviously, look at what they did to Middlesbrough. So again, would you expect them to, on the form they're on, go to West Brom and win? Maybe. And they get, if they do win, they've obviously got some reward because they find themselves right in the middle of the playoff spots there. So yes, I can certainly see why you've predicted a score draw like myself. So that should be a fantastic game on Friday night at 8 p.m. But moving into Saturday, lower half of the table actually, so complete role reversal to the last game we've touched upon, but 3 o'clock kickoff, Millwall versus Hull City. What's your preview and prediction for that one?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go for a Hull win. I think Hull have been doing pretty well recently. Only one loss in the last 6. Got a really, really good win at the weekend against QPR. Millwall haven't won in 5. The form, it all points to a Hull win. And even the fact that the Den doesn't really make me fancy Millwall anymore, because Hull have been going away and doing really well. And I think it kind of plays to Hull strengths playing away from home now, purely because their stadium just, it's empty and devoid of any sort of atmosphere, purely because of the owner situation and everything. So I think Hull are going to go there and win. I really do. And I don't think it's going to be enough to get rid of Neil Harris, but I think he's definitely going to be under fire if they lose this one. And I think they will. I think Hull are going to go there and win. I think it's going to be a 2-1 Hull.
Okay, we're replicating each other here, Jake, because I think Hull will win this one as well. And that's simply because I've backed on previous podcasts this last few weeks for Millwall to get a victory at home, and they're just not producing. I know, obviously, they lost to Birmingham recently, and they drew, I think it was against Bolton, when I predicted that they would win at home. But for the same reasons, I'm going to predict a 1-0 victory for Hull City there, because Hull seem to be finding a decent run of form. They've only lost one game in about 6 or 7 games now. So they're doing quite well. So I'm going to predict 1-0. And then the next game, it might seem predictable, but we've picked it as a key fixture due to, they're both at opposite ends of the league, so it can have a detrimental effect for both sides if they lose. So Norwich City at 3 p.m. versus Bolton. What's your preview and prediction for this one, Jake?
Yeah, I can't see anything other than a Norwich win. They've just been so good recently. recovered from their slight hiccup to draw in the week to get the win over Rotherham, coming from behind in that one as well. I think that was a massive mental boost for the squad, even though Rotherham are near the bottom of the table. To come from behind in any game is huge, and I think Norwich have got a habit of it at the moment. So yeah, they're not gonna lose at home to Bolton. They're not gonna drop points at home to Bolton. Bolton are going one way, and that is down. So yeah, it's gonna be a home win, and I don't think it's going to be a massive home win. I could see it being a 2-0. I don't think it's going to be massive, but I think it's going to be a routine home win for Norwich. They're not going to have to get out of second gear, and they're going to get the points and extend their lead at the top of the table.
Same again. I've predicted again. You've took the words out of my mouth. 2-0. I've gone for Norwich. It may seem predictable, and you know Bolton really need to go there and put up a fight, and you know I'm sure they'd be happy with a point there, but. You know, Norwich have only lost 4 games all season. Bolton have lost 10. Norwich actually have got a plus 13 goal difference, whereas Bolton have got a minus 13 goal difference. So, again, for that reason, I'm going to predict a 2-0 victory for Norwich. But with that, Jake, we're out of time. If you'd like to just tell our listeners where they can find you, now would be a good time.
Yeah, you can get me on Twitter at Jake Chapman with 2 N's. You can sometimes hear me on the Premier League show on this same channel talking about Newcastle, or you can get my writings on EPL Index.
And I've been your host at Louis Shackshaft on Twitter. Remember to follow the show at Championship Pod, where we post each show to our pin tweet. Please subscribe, like and retweet the show also. We want to thank you all for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.